Rogers.
Stand by.
Okay.
I'm going to turn your microphone on. That's funny. You turned it on, didn't you?
I wasn't
you
supposed to do
the
that.
Switch before I knew it was on.
Sorry. Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air now.
Oh. All right. Well, if we're on the air, why don't we say something?
We should say something, yes, since we are here.
Oh, you wanted me to say?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
This is the voice
of Long Island.
I'm Mike Uhas.
And I'm Eric Corley, here with you another week.
The post-Thanksgiving blues.
Yes. Post-Thanksgiving blues. Well, I guess that's hit a lot of people.
Yeah.
It hit me, that's for sure.
Yeah, like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
If you've ever been hit by a lead balloon before.
It almost happened to some folks in the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Oh, really? Were you there?
No. Well, I was there, but I missed it.
Okay.
I emerged from the subway and saw all these blue police line markers and a whole bunch of cars going past, and I said, oh, boy. Looks like I came a little bit too late. It was only 11 o'clock in the morning. But
What time did you show up?
They pack up early. Well, that's what I meant, 11 o'clock in the morning. They start at 9, and they finish up by about 11.
I see.
But no, the thing about the lead balloon, though, one of the new balloons wasn't olive oil. It was the other one. What was the other new one?
I don't know.
Well, there was some other new one that that came floating down onto people and started hitting them with its hands. I forget what the name of that balloon was. Do you know? Yes, that's it. Woody Woodpecker. Thank you. Woody Woodpecker was smacking people with his hands. And from what I heard, he even knocked a kid off someone's shoulder. That was kind of a high point of the day.
Is that how come I turned on the TV yesterday and saw Woody Woodpecker on?
Could be. And in olive oil. I saw pictures of olive oil, and she was really, really tall.
Yeah?
Yeah, but she started falling at one point, but they caught her, and it was a lot of fun.
That sounds like somebody came to the rescue.
Yeah. I was a bit bummed out I didn't get to see it, but there's always next year, you know.
There is? Sounds like you've got a code in your dode.
So how was your week?
I was wondering where that was coming from. I didn't see you turn that thing on. You didn't turn that on. Where is that coming from? Oh, my week?
Yes, your week.
Very interesting. I did a morning show yesterday.
That's nice. Was that the highlight of your week?
No, actually, the highlight was the trip down and back.
Down and back where?
Philadelphia area.
Oh. You go to Philadelphia a lot these days.
Well, it was Thanksgiving, you know, so I kind of had to go.
Okay, I'll buy that.
And I was listening to a station down there this morning, WXPN. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I don't think I have.
From the University of Pennsylvania.
What's their frequency?
I think they're something like 88.7 or something like that.
Yeah?
No, they're not 88.7. Tell you the truth, I don't even know. I don't remember, but I was listening to them, and they're playing a folk show, kind of similar in style and nature and format to the program I put on here on Thursday evenings. So I called up, and I requested a tune. And I told her that I was from this station, which is WUSB.
In Stony Brook.
And she even took my name. So when she played the tune, she mentioned me. Wasn't that swell? That really made my day. And she mentioned USB, too, so that was even better.
Well, I didn't have anything nearly that exciting happen.
I was really just totally surprised and really shocked and very grateful. Especially since they played that particular tune that I wanted to, and I was playing my spoons on the way back, listening to it. No, I wasn't playing my spoons, I was playing my bones. I don't have spoons in my car.
Okay, we'll talk about spoons a little bit later on.
Oh,
boy. Got all kinds of things lined up with spoons. We'll deal a little bit more with that in the future.
we have a real world segment coming up, supposedly, at 12:30.
Approximately, yes, yes.
If we're lucky.
We will be. I feel the luck in the air tonight.
Wish I did. We're going to have a newscast at 1:55.
That's way in the future.
Yeah, but it's about the best thing I can think of tonight.
Yes.
So how about your weekend? I mean, your week.
Well, weekend hasn't started yet, but
it did. It started about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, I guess it did. All right, well, I can't say too much for that, but the week was fairly interesting, you know, a short holiday week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody takes off these 2 days, except for the stores. The stores are always open. Supposedly, they're supposed to be crowded, but...
They are. Oh, yo, ho,
yes. You didn't sign them? Well,
no, I didn't.
I made the mistake of driving down Route 110 today by the Walt Whitman Mall, and it took about an hour and a half to do that.
Well, I drove past the Smithhaven Mall today.
Yeah.
And that was a big mistake.
It was kind of fun, though, looking at the different styles of concrete on the ground as I slowly went by them.
Yeah, that's what it felt like on the BQE this morning, or yesterday morning, after I was done with
this. It's amazing we didn't pass each other, because we were both driving about the same time.
Yeah, but I was in Brooklyn at the time, huh?
Yeah, I was kind of lost in Queens.
Hmm.
It was one of those days when I decided not to take the main roads. I decided to take, when I lived in Jamaica, I always wanted to know where Jamaica Avenue went. So today I found out. It goes into a lot of traffic, and then it sort of ambles into Jericho Turnpike.
Uh-huh.
Took a while to find that out, because everyone else seemed to want to find that out today, too.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I was on the BQE yesterday and today, and that's just a fun road. I love that road.
Yeah.
I think it's great, because you get to see the New York City skyline, southern True. Manhattan, you know, down there by the WTC. And the
World Trade Center.
And the NYT building.
New York Technology.
Telephone.
Oh.
New York Telephone, the building with no windows.
Really?
Yeah.
But a new building they're building?
No, it's built.
Oh, that was fast. No windows, huh?
Yeah, at least on the side that I saw.
Oh.
I just saw a big bell emblem, you know. That emblem you'll see on the moon sometime, I'm sure.
I'm sure that'll happen.
Hmm. Bum, 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 bum. So what is this that's in the background,
this
anyway?
This is Walter Carlos before he turned into Wendy Carlos.
Uh-huh.
And Time Steps from the Clockwork Orange. Film? Yes.
Well, do stay tuned to us if you're inclined to.
Right about this time, we usually give out the telephone number, but I thought it was time that we paid tribute to all the folks out there who listen to us, but don't call. And for those folks out there tonight, we're going to pay tribute to you by asking you to do what you do best.
Not call.
Correct. So if you're out there, please don't call 246-7901. Don't call now.
And don't get your money back.
Don't dial area code 516 if you're out of the area. Ah, some obnoxious pest is on the line already. My goodness, that certainly worked. Oh, look, they're lighting up like a Hanukkah menorah.
How about if we get into the music and I'll answer the phone?
Okay, sounds good to me. I'll just turn down the microphone.
Thank you.
third person not to call 246-7901 will win $10,000. Non-caller number three. Please stop non-calling. We have a non-winner.
Mr. Dufa, furcht habe nicht, die frohe Botschaft bringe ich. Sei munter, 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 munter. Ich bin dein Märchen Kentucky Oberst. Himmel, 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 Himmel das ist der Gang garantiert. Ich hab, mein Freund, die Welt gesehen, jede Stadt und jeden Hafen. Gott hat geübt an der übrigen Welt und dann hat er kein Tag geschaffen.
Black Forest Bluegrass from P.D.Q. Bach. None other than the great
P.D.Q. Bach. Yeah.
Well, we heard part of the Blasgrass Cantata. It's hard to really explain what is done here. But
so don't do it.
Well, I can just read you a little bit. You are in the land of beautiful horses. Oh, you lucky child, you are in heaven. That's for damn sure. My friend, I've seen the world, every city and every harbor. God practiced on the rest of the world, and then he made Kentucky. And that's pretty much what P.D.Q. Bach was all about.
Yeah.
I want to thank all the folks for not calling, because they've been doing a slam-bang job of it.
Especially to the person who didn't call and won $10,000.
That's right.
That's good.
Special thank you and congratulations to that person who didn't win.
Right.
It's great to see the switchboard lit up like a menorah in July, which is the way we want it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Except, so, you know, those obnoxious folks that call up.
Well, they're out there, you know.
Oh, it's always fun talking to them.
Yeah.
They weren't really all that obnoxious.
We mean it. Don't call us. 246-7901, area code 516.
That's right.
Or you'll be sorry.
Yes.
All right, we have...
Sorry.
Who is that?
Bye, Brianne. It was just Brianne just leaving.
Brianne sounds pretty funny.
Yeah.
If
you wonder what this strange echo is because I don't have headphones in here that seem to be hooked up. So I have...
Hi, Brianne. She's leaving from this room, though.
Yeah. So that's why... What are you doing to me?
I'm giving you double feedback.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing it too?
No.
Oh.
Anyway, we have The Real World coming up very shortly. And,
yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah, in the meantime, though, we have something else.
Oh, so you want me to go into it?
I guess you might as well.
Now here comes our special request to each and every one. Especially those my brethren who forget where they're coming from, you know. This song is called Roots and Culture. forget your roots and culture, my brother. Remember your place of shelter. Cause if you deal with war, man, you can't run far. You deal with God, you are gonna melt like fudge. Don't you back the end of feeding, my brother, no. Don't you back the end of feeding, no. Don't you burn your bridges and behind you, my brother, no. Don't you burn your bridges and behind you. Cause you never miss the water till you well.
There is no doubt that the radioactive fallout, the worldwide fallout from the atomic bomb tests, is causing damage to human beings all over the world, such that there is now and will be in the future an increased number of children born with congenital defects, physical defects and mental defects, an increase in the number of achondroplastic dwarfs, an increase in the number of people who are mentally deficient because of the damage to the genes. There's no doubt about this at all. I have been very much concerned about nuclear war ever since 1945, when the first atomic bombs were exploded over Hiroshima and Nagasaki after one test had been carried out. These bombs that were exploded there were pretty small bombs by modern standards. Each of these bombs, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, each of these two bombs had the explosive energy of 20,000 tons of TNT. Each was equal to one one-ton blockbuster. During the Second World War, great use was made of great bombs which consisted of one ton of TNT. A bomb of this sort could smash a whole city block and might kill several hundred people. Altogether, about 3 million tons of high explosive was used during the Second World War, and it caused great damage. Well, the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs had the explosive energy equal to 20,000 tons of TNT. Each of these bombs smashed a city flat over an area a couple of miles in diameter and killed 100,000 people or more. On the 1st of March 1954, the United States exploded the first modern bomb, the first super bomb. This was a shock to everybody who understood what was going on. Since that time, super bombs of this sort have been exploded by the USSR and Great Britain, too. And we may hope that similar bombs are not exploded by other nations or by these nations in the future. The super bomb that was exploded by the United States on the 1st of March 1954 at Bikini, called the Bravo bomb, was a three-stage bomb. The first stage consisted of 10 pounds of plutonium, which, when it was suddenly compressed, underwent the nuclear fission reaction, liberating a great amount of energy equivalent to that in the Hiroshima or Nagasaki bomb. It produced a temperature of many millions of degrees and produced many neutrons, too. Under the influence of this high temperature, the second stage reaction occurred. The first stage was a nuclear fission reaction. The nuclei of plutonium split into half. The second stage was a nuclear fusion reaction. The material consisted of a couple of hundred pounds of lithium deuteride. The nuclei combined with one another a fusion together of atomic nuclei, liberating tremendous amounts of energy and producing a still higher temperature. This increased temperature caused, and the supply of neutrons to cause the third stage reaction to occur then. The material, the explosive material for the third stage, is ordinary uranium metal, about 1,000 pounds of ordinary uranium metal. The explosive energy liberated when the uranium metal underwent the fission reaction was about equal to that liberated by the lithium deuteride in the fusion reaction. $21,000, you can get the material to convert the little Hiroshima Nagasaki bomb, a 100,000 person bomb, into a bomb 1,000 times more powerful, a bomb with the explosive energy of 20 million tons of TNT. That is 7 times the explosive energy of all the explosives used in the whole of the Second World War in this one bomb. And the cost of it for materials, about $85,000. damage would it do if it were used in nuclear war? It would smash a city flat over an area 20 miles in diameter. When it is exploded 2 or 3 miles or 4 miles above the surface of the earth, above the center of the city, it would just smash the city flat and kill everybody in this area 20 miles in diameter. It is estimated that the blast fire and immediate radiation effects that you get in the first second after the explosion of the bomb would, in the case of a bomb exploded over New York, kill 6.5 million people. In addition, the bomb produces great amounts of radioactive materials. In the case of a ground burst, which means a burst within a couple of miles of the surface of the earth, so that the fireball strikes the earth, the fireball has the temperature of the sun. It is a great ball, 4 miles in diameter. When the fireball strikes the surface of the earth, it vaporizes the concrete and steel of the buildings and the soil, leaving a hole 300 feet deep there and perhaps 3/4 of a mile wide. The vaporized material then condenses as the fireball expands and then traps the highly radioactive substances produced by the fission of the plutonium and the uranium. These highly radioactive materials, which are in the little droplets of condensed material, then fall to Earth within the period of 2 or 3 hours and seriously contaminate an area of about 7,000 square miles. The amount of radiation that people in this area on the average would receive during the first day from the radioactive materials is such as to cause, it is equal to 30 times the amount necessary to cause people to die of acute radiation sickness. If someone receives a dose of radiation of about 500 Rontgen, the Rontgen is a unit of high energy radiation. If someone receives a dose to his whole body of about 500 Rontgen, he begins to be sick, to feel nauseated and feverish. He begins to suffer from internal bleeding, and in a few days, he is apt to be dead.
Bunch of roots and culture there.
Mikey Dread.
Yeah.
And his friend Linus Pauling.
I never knew they were buddies.
Yeah. They jammed together all the time.
Yeah. That's really good news.
Sure is.
Yeah. Well, what is it? It's 1541 here on 90.1 FM.
Oh, that's the time.
No, that's the timer.
What time is it?
Can I turn this on?
Yes.
Okay, are you timing this for any reason?
No.
Okay. It's actually 12:39.
How about that?
Yeah, almost time for the real world segment.
Yeah,
oh,
we'll
be
getting to that
real
soon.
We got a real good one.
Oh.
We got something from National Public Radio that we're going to play, an interview with Dr. Robert Butler.
Hey, okay, I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. You've heard of him, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't you tell us who he is?
I don't feel like it. He's a dull person.
Well, if he's so dull, how come we're going to play an interview with him?
Because you picked it out. I didn't.
Wait a minute. I picked it out, but I can just as easily turn your microphone off. And I just did. And so that's why we don't hear from him. No, it's not why we don't hear from him. It's because he's not saying
anything. Saying a damn thing. That's why you're not hearing from him.
Oh, boy.
Speaking along that vein, I'm really glad that people are continuing not to call up, because that's what we want.
That's right.
We want to hear from nobody tonight. Nobody
that's,
at all.
That's
don't
right.
Call 246-790. Oh, boy. Look at that. They love annoying us, don't they?
They certainly do. Anyway, in Stony Brook right now, it's 7 degrees Celsius. That's 45.
On the Fahrenheit scale.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think of this new plan by Reagan to tax the unemployed? Isn't that something?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about his dense pack plan.
Well, I could talk about that, too, but this is more immediate. This happened yesterday, I think.
Yeah, right on Thanksgiving, wasn't it?
Yeah, right on Thanksgiving. You know, and
that's really showing why he got elected, you know?
The rationale, I thought, was amazing.
What
it'll
exactly?
Make being unemployed less desirable.
Oh, yeah.
Less desirable.
Yeah.
And therefore, people will say, oh, gosh, okay, I'm just going to go out and get a job now.
Yeah, as if it was that easy. Well, you've been looking for a job for the last 20 years, right?
Well, I find all kinds of weird jobs, you know, as you well know. But,
yeah. why don't you just go back
hard.
To driving limousines or something?
It's hard. Oh, it is. You know, it's very hard to find a job. And if you look at the help wanted sections, people ask, well, how come the help wanted sections are so thick, you know, that they're all specialized jobs.
That's true.
Chemical engineers and computer things and that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, but
I tell you, I had a great Mexican dinner tonight.
Totally off the subject.
Yes, it is. Well, when you mentioned chemical engineers, that had something to do with it.
I guess
some kind of cataclysmic change that happens in your body after eating Mexican food.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with driving a limousine, though.
No. Well, I haven't driven a limousine for 2 years now. So I think that's kind of beyond the point.
Well, I mean, if you needed money, that's what you would do, right? Drive a hack.
It takes a lot of time to do that, though.
About 8 hours a day, right?
About 10 hours a day, about 12 hours a day sometimes.
Yeah, but you get a lot of tips, right?
Sometimes. Sometimes you just wait around airports for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, something I'd like to do again.
Hmm.
It's like I'm sure you wouldn't want to be a security guard again.
Yeah, I kind of would.
You would? Well, I'm sure there's
that's right.
A way for you to arrange that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Depending on how the state of the economy goes, maybe I will be back security guarding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Hold on now.
It took you a while to find the job you have now.
It took me 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah. How come this headphone only works in one ear?
Maybe it's your head.
Maybe it is my head. I don't know. Yeah, that's better.
Now, if there's somebody out there that happens to be unemployed, why don't they give us a call? They could be the only people to give us a call today, 246-7901, and tell us why you don't have a job.
Right.
Okay?
Okay, that sounds...
Also, tell us how nice it is to be unemployed, which is why everyone's trying to make it less desirable.
You know, this line is busy, though.
No, it'll skip over to the next line.
Yeah, but that means we only have one line to skip over to.
246-7901.
Right. And tell us why...
Why are you still unemployed?
And how you got...
Unemployed.
Right.
Or if you ever were employed, or things like that.
Right.
Some people out there have never been employed.
People say that about me all the time.
Well, they're talking about your mind.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a difference there. Yeah. If I only had a brain, you know.
What do you got queued up for?
I have something here. Well, before we were playing some Walter Carlos, before he turned into Wendy Carlos.
Yeah.
And somebody says, well, why don't you play the little William Tell overture?
I got an idea, too. Why don't we play something when he did turn into Wendy Carlos from the Tron soundtrack?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Good. While we're looking for the theme for the real world segment.
Okay.
We can do that.
Okay.
But this is Walter Carlos before he turned into Wendy Carlos. And once again, the number here, in case you're unemployed, is 516-246-7901.
And don't call that number.
Unless you're unemployed.
Yes.
And prepared to tell us why.
Yes. Thank you.
Those are a couple of things from Walter Carlos's Clockwork Orange, the William Tell Overture, abridged, and Country Lane. We're going to move into something from Wendy Carlos, turned into Wendy. Music composed by Wendy Carlos, performed by the London Philharmonic, and Wendy Carlos played the synthesizers on a couple of these cuts from the album to the soundtrack of Tron, here in the voice of Long Island. Thank you.
And now the voice of Long Island journeys outward from its protective shield to visit the real world.
And tonight on The Real World, we're going to tap the resources of our friends over at National Public Radio for an interview with Dr. Robert Butler, author of Love and Sex After 60.
It's essential to know that aging per se, that is, the physical processes of aging, do not impair the capacity or desire for sexual activity.
Dr. Robert Butler is an authority on the sexual and social relations of the elderly. He has written a book entitled Love and Sex After 60 and now teaches geriatrics and adult development at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine. He estimates that of the 30 million people over 60 today, about 80% are physically capable of having sex. And he says that elderly couples who don't pursue an active sex life might feel pressures from society that sex and old age shouldn't mix.
Our culture seems to suggest that to be active sexually in old age might even border on being obscene. And we hear such really awful phrases like dirty old man or an old hag. How these came about is important to try to understand. It seems like most of us find it very difficult to imagine our own parents involved in sexual activity, and by extension, therefore, all elders. It's just very difficult for any of us to imagine that those people who, in fact, sired us somehow did something to have that happen.
So an elderly couple might feel forced by society to act out the roles of rosy-cheeked grandparents who never think about sex. But Dr. Butler says that elderly couples shouldn't feel guilty or abnormal if they're still interested in sex, nor, he adds, should they feel wrong if their interest declines.
First off, we should be certain that no one, no older person, any more than person of any age, feel that they have to be interested in sex. So those who may not have been all that interested in sex, or for some reason may want to give it up psychologically, may use their illness or use their medication as a convenience or an excuse, and an easy one because it doesn't kind of get to the heart of their sense of being a male or a female. For those that have some inkling that they might be interested, I think you're already past the first step, and they may then be able to sit down with a physician or a counselor or a social worker or a psychotherapist and begin to discuss it, either as an individual or a couple.
But what happens if one half of the couple dies? A widowed husband or wife might still want social or sexual companionship, but not know how to find it. And the problem usually affects women because they tend to outlive men.
From age 65, women outlive men by nearly 4 years. It means that for every 100 men over 65, there are about 150 women. It's not statistically a very good break for women, obviously. One of the points I often make to people is to not regard themselves as a statistic, but as an individual. Each person has to simply take their own life in their own hands and be proactive and appropriately adventuresome.
Some elderly singles are lucky enough to start new relationships after their spouses have died, but new problems can come along with new friends. Many children, for example, feel threatened if their parents form new relationships so late in life.
And they may not even understand their sense of threat. They may have themselves a kind of very special loyalty to the deceased one. A daughter who was, let's say, even neurotically involved with her father, who can't for the world of her appreciate and understand and accept the fact that her mother appears now to be interested in somebody else. Or it may be a case of the child wanting and continuing to wish to have the grandmother of their children available for babysitting. And then, too, there's the even more painful occasions in which fear that one's going to lose one's legacy is at issue, because dad is taken up with the nurse or mom is taken up with the man next door. So my point here is that older persons really do have to take life in their own hands. They really are not responsible and needing to account to their children for their behavior.
And above all, Dr. Butler stresses that the elderly can develop a style of loving that they feel comfortable with. They shouldn't have to please their children or society, and they should remember that sex, even if it's limited, can be a very special way to share love and romance.
There is such a thing as what I've called the second language of sex. Our first language is the one that we learn as young people. It's more athletic. It's based upon performance. It's not based upon skill. It's not based upon experience. It's not based upon an acquired and developed sense of affirmation and affection of one person for another. I don't mean to downplay the importance of youthful sex. I just want to build up the reality of what it means to grow older, to have a deepened sense of feeling about another human being, and to know that sex is broader than just physical performance and includes touch and tenderness and warmth and joy. I think all of those capitulate in what can be some of the most effective and wonderful aspects of love and sex in old age.
Well, that's all from the real world today. Join us once again, why don't you, when the Voice of Long Island once again takes a look at the real world.
That here next time on WUSB. Stony Brook.
Your glory, yeah. I'm Chauvin.
My belly.
bottom window, they were all around, all around. I see no faces, I hear a house voice ordering everybody, just what you do, you can't make a move, no, no. And then I remember Gigi and a baby brother, how they would suffer so far. I'm the only breadwinner, and I still too fenced and over the wall. And there he was standing so big and tall. They don't make a move, I shoot you through. He ain't never seen the dust of my shoes. He ain't never seen the lights of my shoes. And I've got to be red. I'm still alive to get your glory. Yeah, I'm still alive to tell my story.
Okay. We didn't actually let the song go into the next song. We just like to have music underneath us as background, you know?
Yeah.
That's enough.
Good enough for a reason as any, I suppose.
Yeah. Good enough.
Hey, you know who's playing in Philadelphia this weekend?
Who?
Debbie McClatchy.
Is that so?
Yeah.
We saw Debbie McClatchy last... Please stop that. That's very annoying, Frank. We saw Debbie McClatchy last Saturday in West Hampton.
That's right. And did we say we were going to talk about it on the air?
I guess we did at some point.
Because that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, we are talking about it. It was a good concert. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was lots of fun. I'm glad you did.
Yeah,
you came in your nice new Salvation Army coat.
Yeah.
That you paid $8.
We're not allowed to give prices over the air.
That's only if we're offering something for sale, and we're not offering your coat for sale.
You better not be.
I don't know anybody who would want to buy it.
That's very fortunate for me.
Yes, and for the rest of the world, too.
Good.
Our country or something like that.
But anyway, it was a very nice crowd. Did you notice
it was a
crowd?
Big crowd too.
The crowd was of all ages.
Yeah, that's true.
People in their mid-70s.
Well, how about that little girl that was leaning on me and putting her hand on your leg?
Yeah, that was interesting too.
No, that was
little kids are so uninhibited. It's amazing. Kids do the damnedest things.
The darndest things.
Yes.
No, it was this. There was this really cute little girl. Now you were sitting kind of like diagonally behind me.
That's true.
And I was sitting in the front row.
Yeah.
And there was this little girl in second grade. I guess she was about 7 years old. And she was just, like, leaning on me. It was just the weirdest thing. And they tell me that she had her hand on your knee for quite a while there, too.
Huh? Yeah. I wanted to get up and go someplace, but I couldn't because her hand was there. And, well, you know, it just made things kind of hard.
And she didn't want to appear on The Voice of Long Island, either. Remember, I asked her?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I asked her.
I know you were going to ask her, but...
Yeah, she went hiding behind her father.
I guess she's heard the program.
Yeah, can't blame her.
But you did get Debbie McClatchy to say a few words. And that's,
yes,
that's
we did,
good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
And we'll be replaying that whole tape in some future time.
We taped the whole concert. Isn't that great?
That's right.
Do you think there's a chance we can tape more Litma shows?
I hope so, yeah. Well, I think we're going to do the Paul Kaplan show in the middle of January.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And who's playing on December 4th out in the South?
Bill Ox.
Bill Ox.
O-C-H-S.
Okay. Do you know anything about him?
He's a tin whistle player, and it's going to be out in Southold.
Is it worth my while to go to that one?
Probably.
Yeah?
Tin
whistle?
Yeah.
What's a tin whistle?
It's like a little penny whistle.
Yeah?
Yeah. And they they're not that inexpensive. And get your pizza off that NPR box.
It's an appropriate place for it.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Better than putting it right on the console. Now, speaking of instruments, though, there were a lot of crazy instruments that Debbie McClatchy played on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, like a ukulele.
Is that the one from New Jersey, the big,
yeah,
bulky thing?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things from New Jersey.
It's like a guitar and a violin at the same time?
Yeah. No, it's like a zither and a violin.
Oh, well, a zither, that's another weird one.
That's what, the first time you saw a zither was when Kenny Bloom was playing it, probably, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, in Greenwich Village on Bleecker Street.
Yeah.
In this little place that had room for only 10 people.
I think it was like more like 20, but that was a fun show, too.
That's the way to see anyone that you really like in a small place where you can actually talk to the people afterwards. When they come out and talk to you,
that's right.
You don't have to chase after them. They want to, you know, see what their audience is like.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine, you know, going to see The Who and having that happen? It's just impossible. Exactly.
I can just imagine The Who playing in a little dumpy place on Bleecker Street.
That's the problem. When someone gets so big, it's just not any fun anymore, even
that's
if
right.
they are still good.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. That's why I like going to see people that aren't so popular, I guess.
Yeah.
And anyway, this she was playing a ukulele, which has the zither strings in the middle, and it's got these little tiny violin-type strings that she plays with a little teeny bow on the sides, and that's from Oscar Schmidt and Company.
Yeah. In fact, there's a song on the new album that has a ukulele on it. Do you know which song it is by any chance? I might play it.
Do you have the cover?
Yeah, here's the cover.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is.
If I get the cover, I can find it.
Yeah.
Ukulele. That's the song called Off to California.
Off to California, title cut.
Okay, let me cue that up while you talk. So
okay. Anyway, this album that Eric is pulling this from is from her new... Save some of that soda for me, okay, Frank? It's from the album on Wildebeest Records called Off to California. And it's got some interesting stuff on here. And a ukulele kind of sounds a little bit like a pianolin, too.
It's really...
Have you ever heard of pianolin?
A pianolin?
A pianolin, yeah.
I have no idea.
Have you ever you've heard of Claudia Schmidt, right?
I've heard that name thrown about a few times.
Right. If I tend to play a tune by Claudia Schmidt every Thursday around 9 o'clock,
uh-huh.
called If I Only Had a Brain, you know?
Oh, your theme.
Yeah, kind of. And, you know, it's appropriate for me, don't you think? But she plays a pianolin in that. If you want to tune in to see what a pianolin sounds like, listen at 9 o'clock.
That's two plugs for your show. This show so far.
Yeah. So you think I should go for a record and beat it?
I don't know.
Well, because you can't... You
Why
can't,
don't we have all the people not call up and let us know?
You can't catch up, though, because you don't have a show.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, you going to play Off to California?
Yeah. Now, we're going to hear what a ukulele sounds like. It's a picture, if you will, this a big box. Is that what it is? It's like a box. And
yeah, well, it's like
it's got
this strings, wooden frame. Yeah.
Strings horizontally
kind of like
and
an
strings
auto-harp.
Vertically. And you... Yeah, they're going in two different directions. They're
they
perpendicular
are.
To each other.
They are?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, she's playing one with a bow and she's plucking some with her fingers.
No, they're all going in the same direction, aren't they?
I don't think so. What do you think, Frank?
I think they're going in the same direction.
Yeah, but there's no...
That's a banjo you're looking at. I'm talking about... Go away. You're not doing this anymore.
Well, in any event,
I was talking about a ukulele.
It's a weird instrument, and we should
the
play
same
it.
Direction.
There's at least one person out there I know who has one hanging on their wall.
Okay.
And if they're listening and they know if the strings are perpendicular or what, or parallel, please call up and let us know.
If we were
Nobody else call up, just that person.
If we were television, we could refer to the videotape.
That's true, we could.
Why but instead,
we
we're
going
to. You know, why don't we refer to the audio encoded record here and play
okay,
it?
Okay, this is what a ukulele sounds like. Ready?
Yeah.
From New Jersey, a ukulele. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ukulele. Yeah.
Off to California.
From Debbie McClatchy off of her Off to California album. So you're trying to cue something else up there now, too, huh?
Yeah, I can just remember that, though, the big, huge thing called the ukulele. It's not really that huge.
I mean, no, it isn't.
You can hold it in your hands, but
there is somebody on the phone with the answer.
With the answer to
it? Why don't you get the answer and tell us?
Would you like to do that?
Sure, well, I thought you wanted you.
No, 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 you go get the answer and get back to us.
It's too risky taking an answer live on the air. Why don't you go in there and take it live in the newsroom?
Oh, wow.
Quick.
That's a lot of fun.
I'll cue up this other song.
Do you know what song you're going to cue up?
Yes, I do, in fact.
You're going to cue up Victoria, aren't you?
Yes.
That's, well, that's really, yeah. Hmm.
You're so good at ad-libbing, Mike.
Yeah, I try. Well, because I don't have anything to say right now, you know?
Yeah. Well, okay. Now, we're playing Victoria for a particular reason, because another strange instrument is played in that song. And that's one we're going to be focusing
it's
on for a while.
It's not all that strange.
Well, it's strange for most people.
Well, just because you eat with it doesn't mean that it's necessarily strange.
Here's an objective bystander, Anthony White. Tell me something.
Yes?
Are spoons to you a strange instrument?
Say no.
No, because they're used for something.
No, I mean to play music. And be truthful.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's a very strange instrument.
Thank you. Tony White bears me out.
Well, that shows how much you know about traditional music.
See, I hate going against my viewers. But then again, I hate going
why,
against...
Why? It's so much fun. Now, let's get back to the subject.
What was the subject?
Spoons and music, okay?
Okay.
Now, we're going to play a song by Debbie McClatchy that has spoons in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's singing and she has spoons.
She's playing... Did you see how long she was on her one foot when she played this live?
No.
She was standing on just one foot that whole time.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't stand on one foot too long.
Yeah, so she had...
In fact, I'll try right now. Let me get my microphone up to where I'm standing.
Okay, and you have to put your other foot on your knee.
On my knee?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that's what she was doing.
Okay, like this?
Yeah.
I feel like a stork or something. Okay, I think I can stand like this for a while. It's 1:23. Let's see how long I can hold up.
Yeah.
This song is only 2 minutes long, so...
Yeah, but then again, you're not... Hey, don't touch the chair now.
I'm pushing the chair out of the way.
See.
Wait a minute.
What's the answer for?
I have the answer.
Okay.
Can I open the envelope?
May I open the envelope?
Go ahead. Don't mind me. I just look ridiculous standing like this. This is simple, by the way.
It is?
Having no trouble standing on one foot.
Oh, wow. You going to play the spoon soon?
Yeah, we'll play the spoons in a few minutes.
Okay, just like standing here
watching. Please tell us what the answer is. It's dying of whatever.
I know this is torture. Joanne from Smithtown called.
Oh, good.
Hey, Joanne!
That wasn't the person I meant, but it's good.
No, she said that was she was not the person you probably meant with one on her wall.
Yeah.
But,
where does she have hers?
I didn't ask. I thought it was rather personal, so I didn't indulge into
question. Still on one foot, by the way.
Well, I'm going to drag this out so Eric will stand on one foot, and in about 5 minutes you're going to hear a crash. Have you heard the sound of an Eric Crowley hitting the floor?
How many other
you can't read my handwriting.
I've stood in this room on one foot before. That's what I want to know.
Okay, strings are in all the same direction.
Laugh on one.
You didn't hear that? Well, I'll just wait till you fall down, maybe.
Close call there. I'm okay.
Okay.
Please tell us the answer.
The strings.
Yeah.
Are all going in one direction.
Told ya. See, now, it's sort of like an auto harp, and there are these little metal pegs that separate the strings, and strings.
Stop playing with that. Now,
Eric almost fell over that time.
Oh, boy.
He really is on one foot. I'll vouch for that.
125. So I've been on my foot for 2 minutes, the length of that song.
Okay.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, okay. But then again, you're not playing spoons either.
Okay. And it's...
Okay, so the strings are all going in one direction.
Okay, and there's
They're not the same length.
And you can... Well,
right?
Of course they're not the same length.
How could they be the same length if they're not going...
I didn't see that.
If they're...
Can you back to the microphone?
Yes, but the strings...
Nice
what
mic.
I'm trying to say is the strings on which you play, you know, with a bow are much shorter than the ones that you pluck. Or it's the other way around.
No.
They have to be shorter
because they're all different notes.
Pluck any of them.
You can bow some of them with a bow that's smaller than a violin, and you can also pluck some of them.
Listen to the traditional folk.
No. It's a bow that's smaller than a violin's bow.
That's what I mean.
Oh, well, you didn't say that.
All right, the bow is smaller than a violin's bow. Okay.
Just say what you know best, Frank.
WUSB, Stony Brook.
There you go. I will say that at 3 in the morning.
I'm sure you will. I'm still on 1 foot.
Anyway,
3 minutes
it's
now.
It's a horsehair bow.
How do you know that? You could read my writing? Oh my God!
You
can bow with the right.
Thinking
you
that. Wait,
you can you can pluck with the left and bow with the right.
Right. Suppose you're left-handed though.
And you.
Don't confuse him. It's horrible to have him confused.
Say that again, Mike. Suppose you're left-handed.
All right, now suppose he's left-handed.
He plucks with the right and bows with the left.
Oh, okay.
What if you don't play the instrument?
And you put it on the other side of yourself and you put it on your knee and dangle it.
Maybe it would make things more interesting, since I'm standing here on 1 foot, if I held something of value in my hand, so that if I did fall at one particular time...
You have any spoons?
It would come crashing down with me.
How about some glass pus?
No, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Please don't.
Eric does not do windows.
You don't like glass pus?
Somebody did do all the windows in this
fact,
session.
You know who did all the windows? Yours truly. I did it Thanksgiving morning.
Well, I noticed Thanksgiving evening.
Thanks a lot for washing all the windows, because I walked through one before. Not knowing it was there. Very funny. Thank you very much.
Well, that's all the information that I have on this piece of paper.
Well, thank you very much, Joanne and Smithtown.
Yay!
5 minutes I've been on 1 foot, and I am having no difficulty whatsoever.
Great!
Don't slap me on my knee like
no,
that.
No, you're not supposed to slap me. You're supposed to give a shove.
That was not funny.
Or she is laughing at me.
Well, anyway, why don't we listen to the...
Frank just knocked himself into stereo.
Oh, wow, how did I do that?
That's good.
Why don't
we listen to the spoons from Debbie McClatchy, and then you have something that you did, right?
I'm wounded. Yeah, okay. Well, look, I would have stood on my foot for half an hour if I hadn't gotten pushed, but I guess we couldn't do that forever. All right, yeah, we do have something from Debbie McClatchy. She's just playing spoons in her voice, so let's listen to Victoria.
The lion and the unicorn were fighting for the crown. When up spoke Irish Tether and they both came tumbling down. The second George departed from St. Stephen's Green in time. But they're coming down for you, Victoria. Victoria, they're coming for you soon. Victoria, it may go round the moon. It's shining on December cross around the flowers of June. But they're coming down for you, Victoria. Now ever since the weather was looking out for the squalls, the lion and the unicorn were walking round Dublin's walls. But whosoever keeps their place and whosoever falls, they've a double date with you, Victoria. Victoria, they're coming for you soon. Victoria, it may go round the moon. It's shining on December cross around the flowers of June. But they're coming down for you, Victoria. Now Georgie lost the city, King Billy lost his head, the lion lost his balance, and the unicorn he fled. But sure as you're a humpish, bumpish, lumpy lump of lead, they'll be coming down for you, Victoria. Victoria, they're coming for you soon. Victoria, it may go round the moon. It's shining on December cross around the flowers of June, but they're coming down for you, Victoria.
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 Yeah, from Debbie McClatchy and the Spoons.
Yeah.
That'd be a good name for a band, wouldn't it? The Spoons. You have spoons in there, Mike.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm just teaching myself how to play these. These are good. You got soup spoons here.
Yeah, I got two soup spoons. I brought them in from my house.
But they're different sizes, though.
I know. I thought that'd make things more challenging. Get different tones and things like that. I was wondering if you perhaps got one little tiny spoon and one great big one. Maybe something interesting could happen then.
Most conservatively,
like when
for
you
sure.
Pair up a Great Dane and a Chihuahua or something. But in any event, yes, I did have some fun with the spoons earlier tonight. I made a big lavish production of them, and we're going to play that now.
Is it all queued up?
It's all ready to go, so let's take a listen. I haven't titled it yet. Maybe I should title it this very moment.
Why don't we name it after Debbie McClatchy?
No, I don't think that would be appropriate. She'd probably...
Yeah, she'd get mad.
Yeah, probably would.
Well, how about if we open it up to the listeners?
Okay. And I'm kind of partial to the All-Star Spoon Orchestra myself, but whatever the audience
wants.
Wait a minute.
Whoa. That's being rather self-indulging, don't you think?
Perhaps.
Because we did the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So in any event...
Okay, let's leave it up to the listeners, okay? Don't call us at 246-7901.
Unless you have the answer to what should this be called? And especially Joanne in Smithtown, if you know anything about spoons, you should call up, too.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, okay.
Well, here they come, the spoons on USB.
Thank you.
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's real good, I think. Reminds me kind of Talking Heads or something.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we did have a listener call up with
a
suggestion on what to call it.
Yeah? Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of this.
He suggested Lovin' Spoonful.
Lovin' Spoonful?
Taken already.
Yeah, it is taken already, but still, okay. I'm glad we got some kind of a suggestion. Spoonful of Sound, how's that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Well, that was done with nothing but spoons. And that kind of wavy sound you heard was spoon scraped back and forth together and played back at slow motion.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it. I'm thinking of releasing it as a single someday.
Yeah? Well, it should be coming out soon, I think. I think we can get a good good response to that.
Yeah.
And have it on Voli Records.
Yes. Now, you're going to play a little tune for us live.
No, I'm not.
Well, you're going to try to, anyway. I guess you're doing it now, so I'll shut up.
There. Okay, you can start talking now. I said you can start talking now. Bum bum bum. Oh, reggae music. Where'd you go? Eric.
We're getting some more titles. Hold on.
Okay. Bum, 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 bum. Anyway, that last thing you heard with the spoons on tape, if you want to name it, if you have a suggestion of what you might want to name it, give us a call at 516-246-7901. Eric's on the phone with a listener right now with a prospective name for it. And if you think you're creative enough that you might want to be able to name a work of art, give us a call, I suppose. And I guess I'm supposed to be saying something at this point because Eric's not here.
The preceding program was a pre-recorded presentation of WUSB Stony Brook.
Okay, what did they say? Eric.
Well, we have two titles, Out of Sync and
That's good.
No Time, No Place, No Place in Time. That's all one.
Yeah. And where was that listener calling from?
I did not ask because I was in such a hurry to get back here.
Oh.
Yes.
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Jill Buckley just walked in. She's going to run back and get all the Talking Heads records for tonight. Bum, bum, bum. Anyway, we're on for another 20 minutes or so, right? Right?
Oh, yes, we are. Yeah, I've been just getting something ready by George Harrison. Now, this is interesting because...
He plays the spoons?
No, he doesn't play the spoons, but this is an instrumental, and yet it gives credit for George Harrison guitars and voice. So,
oh,
I've never heard this song before, but something interesting must happen to the voice, where it does not form words, but it does something else. So we're going to listen to that. It's from the new album called Gone Tropo, which is weird. Very weird. I'm just reading it here. Don't mind me.
How about Spoon River?
Go away, Frank.
That's what somebody called up and suggested. Spoon River.
Okay, well, I've finished reading this album cover, and I think we should play this right now. This
the preceding...
From George Harrison, this is called Grease.
Yeah.
On the voice
of
Long Island.
Thank you.
anybody understood what language that was, please give us a call.
His cowboy staff. Well, he would string up your mama.
Yeah, we heard from Barry Manilow with John Wayne Was a Nazi. Oh, wait a minute.
I think you're looking at the wrong album.
I think I got it mixed up. Oh boy. Okay, that's enough of Barry Manilow. No, Barry Manilow saying, I Want to Do It With You. Can you believe Barry Manilow came out with a song title like that? I mean, this is Barry Manilow.
That's the Barry Manilow we all know and love.
Yeah, I Want to Do It With You. On the front it says, this is the international smash hit.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason they say it's the international smash hit is so that, you never heard this song before.
I think we should actually preview the rest of this Barry Manilow record for all of our listeners.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There you go. That's typical Barry.
That's a nice mellow tune.
Yeah.
Meaningful
yeah.
lyrics in that one.
Yeah, get down. Oh,
the whole album you're going to go through?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, not bad. Great sax in there.
Oh, good. That's not a guitar.
Great violins. Sax and violins, my favorite. Oh, yeah. Sing it out. Oh, boy. Oh, that's just a great album.
Sax and violins and Congo drums. Okay. Now, before Barry Manilow, we heard from Millions of Dead Cops with John Wayne Was a Nazi and a lot more acceptable material there. What did we start with? We started with something interesting.
George Harrison, right.
I don't know what language he was singing in, but...
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
Yeah.
He did sing in some language, so it wasn't an instrumental per se, but... It's defined that way on the album.
Yeah.
We've got news coming up in a very little while, and we have just barely enough time to play a song from this album.
Oh, no.
New Led Zeppelin record. Yeah, this is called Bonzo's Mantro.
Uh-oh.
It was recorded in 1976.
And it was just came out now, or?
Yeah, according to the records on this album, it was never played on this station, so this is a first. And odds are it wasn't played on very many other stations.
No. Nobody signed off their name on there?
A few people did.
Oh, you mean you're talking about the cut that we're going to play?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This album has been played a couple of times.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get a newscast prepared, and we'll be back in just a moment. But in the meantime, Bonzo's Mantro from Led Zeppelin. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Here it comes.
the mellow sounds of Led Zeppelin.
Here on the Voice of Long Island.
Now here's the news.
The Reagan administration has apparently dropped a plan to tax unemployment benefits. The White House announced the proposal Thursday, and it was immediately attacked by Democrats and labor leaders. A White House official who asked to remain anonymous says the plan wasn't something President Reagan was pushing for, it was just an idea. But, says the official, it's not going to go anywhere. The proposal was one of a package of 8 options suggested by the president's economic advisors. President Reagan is preparing to go traveling again. He ends his California holiday vacation Monday and leaves Tuesday for a 5-day trip to Latin America. He'll visit Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, and Honduras. The Ku Klux Klan will visit the nation's capital Saturday, and several groups plan opposition marches, including the pro-Palestinian November 29th Coalition, the All People's Congress, and the Citizens Against Hatred and Violence. Washington's police chief says the best thing for people in the nation's capital is to ignore the whole thing. Police in London say they're looking into the hanging death of an employee at Britain's top-secret government communications headquarters. That's the same place convicted Soviet spy Jeffrey Prime used to work. The dead man, Ernest Brockway, was a technical expert in communications, but police claim there's nothing sinister in the investigation of his death.
Help is on its way to the hurricane-devastated Hawaiian island of Kauai in the form of power generators. They're being flown in from California.
Yay for California!
But there's still no word on whether the nuclear sub Indianapolis will be used to generate power to the island. Kauai suffered an estimated $130 million in damage from Hurricane Iwa that slammed into the area Tuesday. There's a good chance that when you open your Christmas presents this year, you'll find a sweater, a tie, or some other article of clothing.
Yay for the cold!
In a survey taken by Chicago's Continental Illinois Bank, 83% of the people questioned said they're giving clothing this Christmas. Second on most people's lists are gifts for the home. It's the first time in the survey's 12 years that category is more popular than toys and games. And customs agents in Texas got a gift of sorts this week. Air traffic controllers at the El Paso airport were suspicious when the pilot of a plane making an emergency landing refused to identify himself. It turns out the plane was carrying 6 tons of marijuana from Colombia with a street value of about $19 million. 2 men from Florida and 1 from Colombia are being held under bail of $100,000 each.
Yeah.
Now, checking the weather. Currently 7 degrees in Stony Brook.
45
Fahrenheit, 7 Celsius. The weather for the remainder of the night calls for cloudy conditions with a chance of a brief shower or snow flurry, turning windy and colder with lows in the low 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, and cold. Highs near 40. Tomorrow night, clear and cold. Low in the upper 20s. I'll look for Sunday, partly sunny and a bit milder, high in the mid-40s. It's 2 o'clock straight up, and this is WUSB in Stony Brook.
Yeah. I thought I was going to say that.
No, you didn't say any of that.
You're right. How come? You wouldn't let me.
It's the Voice of Long Island.
That's what this is.
And we'll be back again next Friday night.
I'll be back again next Thursday night, too, maybe.
Well, that makes 3 times.
Wait a minute. I don't know about that, though. Because there's a ball game on Thursday night.
Yeah, in fact, I had to talk to you about that.
Uh-oh.
You won't be on this Thursday night, unless you want to be on for an hour and a half.
I don't know if I want to do that.
Well, okay, that's your decision.
Thanks.
Okay. I forgot to tell you about that. It's a good thing you reminded me. Anyway, we'll be back again next week.
Uh-oh, there's our theme. Good night. Mike Uhas here. It's been a real pleasure and a privilege.
Eric Corley, see you next week.
Bye!
Out of bed at 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch.
USB Stony Brook.
Well, hello there, everybody. This is your friendly Professor Peter Sicily with another report from Hoople. Top of the morning to all of you out there from all of us up here at WOOF, Hoople, North Dakota. Now, I don't want to bore you with a lot of useless chit-chat this morning when I could be doing it with a lot of useless music, so let's get started right away with some PDQ Bach. And we like to do this number for Arthur and Bob and Cliff and David and Esther and Fiona and Gerard and Herb and Irene and Josie and Catherine and Larry and Molly and Norman and Olaf and Phil and Quentin and Ralph and Steve and Tom and Ursula and Vince and Warren and Zena and Yvonne and Zeke. So let's listen now as we hear the Virtuosi di Hoople performing the Echo Sonata for Two Unfriendly Groups of Instruments by PDQ Bach. Shickley number 9
something there. Got a little funny in somewhere. Maybe we,
Excuse me, folks. We seem to have the tape on backwards or something. Let's give it another try. All right, now we will hear the PDQ Bach Echo Sonata for Two Unfriendly Groups of Instruments.
Well, it's better, but it still doesn't sound quite right. Let's see. I would recognize that. I think I must have striver winding and starting all over again. Okay. Now, let's hear a PDQ box, Echo Sonata, for two unfriendly groups of instruments. Ah. Well, folks, you have just heard PDQ. Uh-oh. Well, folks, I'm afraid the tape is broken on me here. But I'll have it fixed in just a jiffy. Oh. It sure is a heck of a way to start the morning, isn't it? Okay. There. Now we're ready to hear a PDQ box Echo Sonata for two unfriendly groups of instruments.
Take a tablespoon or two. Take a
tablespoon or two. Relief is only
Now it's time for New Horizons in Music Appreciation. Different approaches to the problem of popularizing the 19th century classics. Now, unlike the Baroque masterworks, 19th century pieces such as the Beethoven symphonies are usually so long and melodramatic that the average listener has to be informed through the use of program notes as to what's going on, in order to prevent him from falling into a confused slumber. The only trouble is that they always turn the lights down in concert halls, so you can't read the notes while the piece is being played. So, here is a new solution to a perennial problem. Good evening, music fans. Here we are at Philharmonic Hall in New York Mills, Minnesota. It's a beautiful night for a concert. There's not a cloud in the ceiling. And there's quite a crowd out here. About how many do you think there are, Bob?
Oh, I don't know, Pete.
Well, neither do I, but it's quite a crowd. And I think they're looking forward to hearing the New York Mills Philharmonic playing against the Danish conductor, Heilige Dankesang. And here he comes now, ascending the podium. And the players are all lined up and ready to begin the first inning of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor. And they're off with a four-note sequence. It's very exciting. The beginning of a symphony is always very exciting, folks. I don't know whether it's slow or fast yet because it keeps stopping. It doesn't seem to be able to get off the ground yet. And it looks like, yes, it looks like we're coming up to a cadence here, folks. The violins didn't cut off there. A little trouble with the violins. They weren't watching. And there's that four-note theme again, folks. And another stop. Just can't seem to get this piece off the ground. Now it seems to be rolling a little bit. Seems to be building up. Tell me, Bob, do you think you'd call that four-note idea a theme or a motif?
Well, the technical term would be motif, but it would be used to build a theme.
I see. Thanks for setting me straight about that, Bob. Well, we're heading into the second theme section here. I was expecting a little modulation down there. Wow, did you hear that, Bob? Somebody down there in the horn section really flubbed that note. That was one of the worst fumbles I think I've ever witnessed in all my days. I think it was number one, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes, it was, Steve. That was Bobby Corn in the first chair, and that's the third major flub he's made this season, getting a solo average for the season of approximately 0.247355, which is pretty darn low for a first chair man.
You think there's some chance he might be sold to another orchestra?
Well, it's hard to say, Pete. Corno's very good in the long solo, things like the Rachmaninoff piano concerto. So I think if he pulls himself together a bit, they'll probably keep him around.
It's development time down there now, Bob. Let's see what's going to happen. The horns are starting it off. They seem to be in pretty good shape now, and I get the feeling that we're probably going to be hearing a lot of that four-note motif, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
So do I, Bob. Well, they obviously are stuck with that four-note motif, and they're going to be fooling around with it for quite a while. You notice it's pretty hot in here, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
Yeah, I think the air conditioning has gone off, but it's one of the things... Wait a minute, there's something going on down there on the stage, folks. There's something happening down there. It's really building up tension. The crowd is getting very excited. The brasses have come in, and the symphony and everybody, and it's extremely exciting. I think we're building up to a fugue. No, the basses are not picking up the D, folks. It is not a fugue. The violin is trying to make it one, but the basses are not following up. No, instead of a fugue, folks, he seems to be taking the theme and breaking it up into little pieces. Just two notes left of that theme now being thrown around from player to player.
And it's getting softer and softer down there, folks. I think they're losing steam. They seem to be running out of steam. And it's just getting a little bit lethargic down there, if you want to know the truth. It's gotten down to one note now. And things are... Wait a minute! The brasses have come in and tried to pep things up. A welcome relief. But I'm afraid to no avail. Things are still pretty somberless. Wait a minute! They hear they come again. They're really determined. It sounds very familiar. And I think we've reached the recap, Bob, don't you?
There's no doubt about it, Steve. Your average Beethoven symphony usually has a recap right after the second quarter, and this one is falling right in the...
And the tables are coming up. Wait a minute. This time it's the oboe holding the note too long. He's playing a cadenza. He must be out of his mind. He thinks it's an oboe concerto. The conductor's standing down there, or he doesn't know what to do. Have you ever heard anything like that, Bob?
Certainly haven't, Pete. I think it was a disgraceful display of lack of music. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Highwood's name wasn't on the roster next season, although I must say that the man's really seemed to go for these outbursts of temper.
Well, I would say, Bob, professional music teams wouldn't exist without the spectators. Anyway, we're in the home stretch here with the second theme coming up, and we should be in C minor right up to the double bar. Wait a minute. That's really something, Bob. The piece is billed as being in C minor, and yet it looks like it's going to end in C major.
It's really something, Pete.
Well, I think it's something that the Composers Commission ought to look into, and I suspect that they will as soon as this gets out. But it looks like it's going to be an ending anyway. Things are building up a little there. The violins have really gotten a hold of things. They're really beginning to roll, and now he's adding all these woodwinds there. He's thrown in all his brass and the timpani, and it's tuning all the way, folks. He's got a great piece on his hands here, and he looks like he's really coming into the home stretch. Well, I guess that about wraps it up, eh, Bob?
Yeah, he is damn good.
I think he can really have something to be proud of himself here. Wait a minute! The birds are taking the team! They're not letting it stop! They're taking the team and running ahead! Bob, this piece is definitely going to go into overtime. I can see that. The crowd is going wild. They're standing up on their feet. They're jumping. They're stomping. They're yelling. And let me tell you that down on that stage, the players are doing a bit of running around themselves. Nobody knows where the team is. The audience, nor the players, nobody knows where their team is. Everybody is running around, and believe me, it's very exciting. This is a magazine that only happens once in 10 years, folks. They've got a new team going on down there. I can't believe it, Bob. You know where this new team comes from?
Well, Pete, it probably comes from, no, I don't, Pete.
Well, they're tossing it around now. The woodwinds have it, and then the strings have it. Nobody seems to be able to keep his hands on that team. It's getting tossed around from player to player, from section to section. And believe me, folks, the audience is just as confused as the players is about who is going to have that team finally. Wait a minute. The strings have got a hold of it. The strings have got a hold of that team, and they are not going to let go. What's this? I can't believe my ears. It sounds as if it's another recap. It sounds as if he's going right back to the beginning. If this is true, it's the first time it's happened in 10 years of concert captain. Wait a minute. Those sound like final chords, though. This may be... That may be it, folks. I'm looking down at the referees. Yes, that is it. That is the end of the piece. The players are taking off their helmets, and the conductor has turned around and is acknowledging the cheers of the crowd. Well, it was quite a symphony, wasn't it, Bob?
It was quite a symphony, Pete, and I think the fans feel that they got their money worth.
So do I, Bob. And I don't think there's any doubt about who won this contest, either. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the critics slap a stiff penalty on some of the players, particularly Bobby Corno.
Neither would I, Pete. And, of course, this is a very important victory for Haile Gadankazan, since it puts him right up there at the top of the conductor's league.
That's right, Bob. That means that he'll be up against the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony in the World 12-Tone Series next month. And let's see, they not only lead the orchestral league, but I think they're unbeaten this season, aren't they, Bob?
You said it, Pete. And if Gadankazan can win four concerts off them, he'll be the first conductor to earn the pennant since Toscanini.
Well, that's quite a challenge, Bob. Now I think I'd better be heading down to the locker rooms to have a chat with Gadankazan himself.
Well, Pete, I think he was supposed to be doing a baton commercial after the concert, but why didn't you give it a try?
I'll do that, Bob. So for now, this is Pete Shickley.
And Bob Dennis.
Signing off for the wonderful wide world of notes.
WWOF gives you the time of day.
At the sound of the tone, the time will be exactly 8:23.
Mr. Webernand, what do you say? Will it be nice, or will it be stormy today?
Those of you who have looked out of your window this morning have probably been surprised to see that there is no weather today. This unusual condition is due to a surprise wildcat strike by members of the Weather Bureau Employees Union, Local 30.2, in Falling, and is expected to continue through tomorrow night with the possibility of clearing up by Saturday. Some members, however, have said that they intend to cross the picket lines. So our forecast for today and tomorrow is for scattered weather over the greater Hoople area.
Now here's the news.
The news is brought to you by the Hoople Scoop. And let's see what we have today. A bridge under construction in southeastern Kansas City collapsed today, spilling 35 men into tons of fresh concrete. 18 were taken to hospitals, but none was critically injured. That's our headline story for today. And on the international front, all places of entertainment in Tanzania have been closed for 24 hours to encourage people to stay at home today for the first national census in 10 years. Now let's take a look at a report from the West Hoople Stockyards. Hogs, 1,000, barrows and gilts steady. 1 to 3, 210 to 250 pounds, 2125 to 2150. 2 and 3, 250 to 290 pounds, 2025 to 2125. Number 3, 290 to 300 pounds, 1975 to 2025. Medium, 1 to 3, 160 to 200 pounds, 20 to 21. Now, the New York spot quotations on eggs, standards, 24 to 26, checks, 16.5 to 17. Whites, extra fancy large, 30.5 to 32.5. Fancy medium, 23 to 24. Fancy large, 29.5 to 31. Medium, 22 to 23. And smalls, 16.5 to 17.5. And that's the news for today from the Hoople Scoop. We have a real treat in store for us now. PDQ Bach's Trauma Rye for unaccompanied piano, performed on the actual piano that PDQ Bach owned when he wrote this piece. Now, I'd like to emphasize before playing this tape that it is a field recording made at Fort Fork in the home of the man who owns the piano under conditions which were not ideal. But I think the historical importance of this recording far outweighs any considerations of high fidelity. So here is Mr. Heinrich Seifenblaser playing PDQ Bach's Trauma Rye for unaccompanied piano. And we've got a request here from Clara W. to dedicate this to Bob and John.
Could you start at the beginning again, please? That's können Sie von den...
Yeah. Here. Come on, here. Come on.
No, Sonny, don't play with that. Don't play with that. Hey, don't touch, don't play with that wall plug. No. Frau Brown, will you tell your little boy not to play with the wall plug?
I'm afraid you might pull it off.
W-O-O-F, Hopeful.
That was the sound of P.D.Q. Bach with his Traumerei for unaccompanied piano, Mr. Heinrich Seifenblase at the keyboard.
Well, I guess that just about wraps things up for today. And I hope you'll be joining me next week, when in all likelihood I'll be bringing you yet another
report from Oval.
This is Gene Roddenberry of Star Trek, recommending you listen in to that out-of-the-world station, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Lisa, your quiet smile, like heather grown on the heath. How come you never laugh out loud? Do you perhaps have poor teeth? The poem that Percy is about to read to you now is called Happy Birthday to a Bookworm. This is one of the real bookworms, by the way, the little ones that you find in books, not the people who read many books. Happy birthday to a bookworm. Oh, hail to thee, voracious young fellow. You go through my book like a dog runs through jello. Bantam editions to you taste like rolls. They must be, for mine are full of your holes. The first time I saw you, so gay and so loose, you were gumming some pages of My Mother Goose. You tune on some Darwin with an appetite fierce. And for your dessert, you ate Mildred Pierce. You made little bites so round and so tidy in an autographed copy, my favorite, of Heidi. I rarely did mine, but once I got miffed the day I found out you'd eaten Tom Swift. As you grew up, I still heard you munch O'Hara for breakfast and Ferber for lunch. And oh, the day you nearly drowned, my face turned pale with emotion. You chewed through my atlas, coat off and hatless, and fell in the Indian Ocean. And when you matured, I recall with some pain, you had late snacks at night with Mickey Spillane. How unhappy I was that night to discover you'd had Lady Chatterley and some of her lovers. Yes, we have known both grief and great joy since you nibbled my volumes when I was a boy. So happy birthday, old bookworm, and be of good cheer. The book of the month is yours for a year. I'm about to close my album now for you, and I have something which I've entitled simply Cowboy. Oh, cowboy so lean, oh, cowboy so tall, you sit there straight as an arrow, but side saddle you ride instead of astride. Are you a real gay ranchero? Well, as they say in the newspapers, that's 30. This is Freddy D'Alfonso saying I'll see you just outside the bookend. Is there a concert tonight, Bruce? I'm just all over goose pimples for the most part.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Strangely, believe it, Chandu Barapur, a Hindu mystic of Bombay, India, has slept for the past 9 years on a spring mattress he bought in Detroit, Michigan.
The wife of Paul H. Fletcher, this is titled Greater Love Hath No Man. The wife of Paul H. Fletcher died in 1846. Her husband, Paul, passed away from grief 74 years later.
Sad things in here. I'll give you one more quickly because they are so many. During the war in Korea, Master Sergeant R. Porter Minnick felt something hard strike a cigarette case which he carried in the breast pocket of his combat uniform. The object was a bullet which bore the serial number. He read it, 826394-7384. Quick as a flash, he reached into his hip pocket, drew forth his wallet, extracted his Army identification card. All that he read with surprise, his Army serial number. It was 406.
Right in the heart, those things get me.
This is a Pierre Rabut, a recluse in other fairy tale for those many of you who speak all right French. This is the story, la fable, of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. In the suburbs of Budapest, Hungary, there once lived a beautiful queen. Her name was Queen Zsa-Zsa. This Queen Zsa-Zsa ruled with an iron fist. The fingernail polish was galvanized zinc. This queen was not what you call popular with her subjects in Budapest because she was always taxing the pauvre peasants. The new paprikash tax was about to go into effect, and the peasants were très triste, most unhappy. But this does not bother this wicked Queen Zsa-Zsa, whose only concern was to look beautiful. In the duplex apartment in a local palace, she had several gigantic dressing rooms. Two rooms were full of perfumes, such as L'Amour Monsieur, Paris Nights, and 12 bottles of the most expensive set called Oy Vey. One room was for cosmetics, with three closets filled with night cream, which were constantly watched by a huge man. One day, just after Queen Zsa Zsa had thought up the paprikash tax, she was sitting in dressing room 11, putting on some real eyelashes. She had just cut off a peasant. When she looked into a mirror, she said, "Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?" "Speak up," said the queen to the mirror. So the mirror said, "I tell you plain, no father all, you look like heck, but Snow White's a doll." "Son of a gun," says the queen in Hungarian. "I will fix this little nobody." So she called the captain of the guard, Herman Feldman. "Hello, queen," said Herman Feldman. "Hello, Feldman," said the queen. "I wish you would take this little Snow White out into the deep forest and lose her." "Okay, queen," said Captain Feldman. And they went to fetch little Snow White. "Come on, kid," he said. "We're going for a walk in the woods." "Oh, yeah?" said the little Snow White. "She wasn't born yesterday. Besides, I hardly know you." "Knock it off," said Herman. So Snow White and the guard went for a promenade in the deep woods. After they'd run a few miles, Captain Feldman stopped and said, "Look, baby, I'm going back. I think I left the iron on." "What shall I do in the meantime?" said Snow White. "Get lost," said Feldman. And off he went. Snow White began to get very discouraged. There was no sign of human beings, no one inside, just a deathly silence. She walked until she came to a small cottage in the wood. It was all alone. She opened the door and went inside. "Très de chabille. Très de chabille. Qu'est-ce que c'est donc?" said Snow White. So she plugged in the vacuum and she went to work. About 2 hours later, the door opened and seven little dwarfs came in. Dark, Sneezy, Hoppy, Grumpy, Patty, Laverne, and Maxine. "Hey, look, Shorty," said Snow White to Hoppy. "I cleaned up this crummy joint." "Who asked you?" said Happy, giving her a backhand across the head. "What's for dinner?" "Well," detailed Snow White, "I've made some capon under and over glass, tossed Caesar salad, and chocolate eclair," said Snow White. "Hasn't food," said Sneezy, giving her a forehand across the head. After dinner, the seven dwarfs, Doc, Sneezy, Grumpy, Happy, Edgar, Allen, and Poe, went to a movie. Meanwhile, back at the Cobos Manor, the apartment of the queen, the mirror had turned to pigeon and squealed that Snow White was still the candidate by the Garment Workers Union for Miss Seersucker for 1956. So the queen went to her grocer and she bought a poison apple. "One poison apple, please," she said. She beat it up to the dwarf's house, carefully disguising herself as a butcher, knocking on the door with a pound of veal cutlet. She spoke to Snow White. I understand you would like to buy some inexpensive chicken livers." "You got the wrong place," said Snow White. "Have an apple anyway," said the queen. And she left, dragging her pot roast behind her. Snow White thought there was something funny about the apple when she did not see the seal on it. And she was suspicious of the little worm inside taking out the seltzers. But she was hungry, so she bit the apple anyway. When the seven dwarfs, Doc, Happy, Sneezy, Grumpy, Jean, Cameron, and Swayze returned, they decided to bury Snow White, as the room looked untidy with her lying dead on the floor. As they were hauling her to a suitable place away from the house, a prince rode up on a large white-on-white horse. "Don't dig that chic," says the prince. "Let me kiss her a couple of times. I'm out on a weekend pass." "All right," said Happy. "But don't smear the makeup. We don't want talk in this neighborhood. This is a residential district." After the prince kissed her, Snow White blinked. Eyes go like this, and she sits up. She said, Where am I? Who kissed me?"
"I did," said the prince.
"What have you been eating?"
"Phew," said Snow White.
Nous attendons les divers des Snow White et Seven Dwarfs. Nous avons quelques jetons. Nous avons quelques pierres à gousser. Au revoir.
welcome to another session of Mr. Question Man, who answers the questions you, the viewers, send in. Mr. Question Man, our first question comes from Mrs. L.R. Ridgely of Wheeling, West Virginia. She writes, "Dear Mr. Question Man, 2 years ago we noticed that my 8-year-old son was losing his hair. As soon as all his hair fell out, it was replaced by an avocado bush growing out of his forehead. Last year it gave fruit 3 times. This year, however, the bush seems to be dying. What can be done to correct this condition? Yours, Mrs. L.R. Ridgely."
An avocado bush can be very decorative. And I have always found the fruit rather delicious. I suggest you have a tree surgeon look at your son's head at the earliest opportunity.
Miss T.L. of Chicago, Illinois, writes, "Dear Mr. Question Man, I am sending this letter from inside my steamer trunk. While I was packing my clothes for a proposed trip to Naples and Venice, the lid snapped shut, and I am locked inside. What shall I do?"
I think you should give up your plans for the trip. I feel that you will not enjoy an ocean voyage inside this trunk, and it does not seem a fair test for those delectable Italian dishes. They lose much of their flavor after being shoved through a keyhole.
Here is another vacationer. "Dear Mr. Question Man," writes Thomas Krieger of Levittown, Pennsylvania, "I am going to Canada for a vacation this month to a winter resort. As this is the first time I have ever been to a winter sports resort, I do not wish to appear stupid. Is it proper to call the sport skiing or sheeing?"
It depends on what you're going to Canada for.
Friends, be sure to join us next week when Mr. Question Man will answer such questions as, "Does an erector set eat its young? Is Winston Churchill any kin to Ma Kettle? Do blue jeans come in other colors?" Hello out there, boys and girls. Time again for one of your favorite programs, Let's Take a Visit, with Uncle Buddy and his two little friends, Mary, Margaret, and Ricky. Well, I'll just bet that all you boys and girls can hardly wait to find out where Uncle Buddy and his two little friends are going to visit today. So let's join them, shall we?
Boys and girls, it's Uncle Buddy again. Back again to visit with you. We know from your letters that you've learned a lot from our little visits and your questions in the mail, such as, "Uncle Buddy, why don't you take a trip to the moon?" And like that. Boys and girls, you'll never guess where we're visiting today. Oh, and here are my little friends, Ricky and Mary Margaret. We're taking a ferry ride.
I read a story once about a little girl who took a ferry ride.
I'm sure she enjoyed it just as much as we're going to enjoy our trip today.
She was drinking soda, and when the boat started, she spilled it with the soda on her.
That's nice. Now, our boat is leaving New York, and we're on the Staten Island Ferry. Do you know where it's going to take us? Do you know where it's going to take us?
I am Staten Island!
Staten Island. And do you know something else about this drive? No, the something else is that it's the longest nickel ferry ride in the world.
Will this boat go to England, too?
What?
England.
Not England.
This girl who spilled it at the soda, she was an orphan.
An orphan? An orphan, this girl who spilled it at... What girl?
The girl I read in the book about.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your Uncle Buddy. And my little friend, Ricky and Mary Margaret, were visiting Staten Island today. We're on the Staten Island Ferry. And the Staten...
Is there a ferry to bring you back to New York?
This ferry brings you back to New York.
I learn lots from this program. I love to take a visit. I love going on ferry trips. I love to visit to the farm. I love being in this program. I love learning things. I love...
And what do you children think you're going to see on this ferry trip over the water?
The Statue of Liberty.
The Statue of Liberty.
I love the Statue of Liberty. I love water.
That's right, Mary Margaret. We should love everything.
I love everything.
I know. Well, sir, soon we're going to see that grand old lady, the Statue of Liberty.
I love the
and
Statue
another
of
thing
Liberty.
About her is this. The people of France gave the Statue of Liberty to the people of the United States. And the people of the United States accepted the statue with a kind of cementing of the relationship. And the people of France thought that perhaps... What are you doing, Ricky?
Just going back and forth.
What for?
Well, it's an experiment. I just want to see if it works. One of the kids told me that if you sway back and forth when you're on a boat, the people watching you get seasick.
I love seasick people. I'm going to be a nurse. I'd love to visit a hospital.
You may. Ricky, come here. Come over to the rail. I want to show you something.
Can we see England now?
No, little friend. We're here to learn things. Just stand next to me here at the rail.
Well, sometimes you get mad at me and scammers.
Oh, no, I don't. I tell you, there's nothing to be angry with you. Why should I be angry? You come here and say to your old Uncle Buddy.
I don't think so. I think you are angry at me.
I'm not angry with you.
I'm going to walk on the rail.
You're not going to walk on the ramp. Did I tell you about the people of France who gave the people of the United States the Statue of Liberty?
No, Uncle Buddy. You didn't tell me about the people of France who gave the people of the United States the Statue of Liberty. Who gave the people of the United States the Statue of Liberty?
That's a very good question, Mary Margaret. The people of France gave the people of the United States the Statue of Liberty.
I love the people of France. I love the Mau Mau, too.
Do you know what drives this ferry boat?
The captain?
Yes, sir, it's steam. Good old steam drives this ferry boat. You know where steam comes from?
I love where it comes from. Some steam is very warm.
So many facts for such a little head. And someone in the boiler room shovels coal on the fire to make steam.
He's called a stoker.
He's called a stoker.
And he takes orders from the engineer.
And he takes orders from the engineer. Third base! You know what I used to do when I was a little boy? I always walked on the rails. I used to hop and skip. You know what else I used to do? Nobody in the whole world could do this. You couldn't do it in a million years. I used to walk backwards. Well, I see by the hands of the old fox boys and girls, we reach the end of our little visit for today. And be back next week when we're going to visit some more strange and wonderful places.
I love visiting strange and wonderful places.
Oh, boy. Ricky, bend down. I want to show you something. Here's something else that Uncle Buddy used to do. Now, this is a blindfold, just like Uncle Buddy used to wear. And you just tie it around here and knot it very tightly. Now, so long, boys and girls. Now, I turn you around three times, Buddy.
How's the funny to do that? All right. Isn't oddities in the news one of those heart-tugging items that comes and tugs at your heart now and then? Thaddeus R. Winthrop chastised his son early yesterday morning for placing a mattress on the sidewalk near the Winthrop house. Young Winthrop explained to his father they were playing circus and the mattress was necessary. Well, be sure to take it in when you're through, said Senior Winthrop. This is ridiculous. I'm going upstairs and get on the roof and fix that TV antenna. So Mr. Winthrop went to the attic and out through the window to the top of the roof. Young Winthrop, seeing his father go, decided to leave the mattress where it was and went to the cornerstone to play the pinball machine. Not realizing what his son's disobedience would mean to him in the next few minutes, the elder Winthrop began working on the antenna on his roof. Suddenly, his foot slipped on a loose slate, and Winthrop began plummeting down to the sidewalk. He landed 7 feet from the mattress and was in the hospital for 11 years.
John.
What do you say? Leave it there. I've had it.
When I first came to Brookhaven Town, way, hey, 90.1, there was no good music to be heard around. Way, hey, 90.1, then one day I turned on the dial. Way, hey, 90.1, there I found music to make me smile. Way, hey, 90.1, I waited for a legal ID. Way, hey, 90.1, the DJ said WUSB. Way, hey, 90.1. They start each day with the rising sun. Way, hey, 90.1. Don't ever finish till after day is done. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you want good music to hear. Way, hey, 90.1. There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you like the sounds, do take a look. Way, hey, 90.1. At WUSB Stony Brook. Hey, hey, hey.
Dragging me down to the kitchen, I wouldn't put up a fight. I'd gladly sign away my soul for a T-bone steak tonight. I'll eat it, so under my trousers, let out the swag. Who cares? Snack attack. Snack attack.
It's a snack attack.